From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up in this next hour, long before he reached the top of the charts with Say Hey in 2009, Michael Franti was well known in the Bay Area for his eclectic music and social justice activism. In this hour, Franti and his band Spearhead will perform live in the Forum Studio and will talk to the Oakland-born, Davis-raised artists about his music and his politics next after this.
Don't lose you, 'cause the best luck I had was you. And I know one thing, that I love you.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. You be Bonnie, I'll be your Clyde. Hop into my car and drive like fireworks. We will ignite through the San Francisco night. Well, Michael Franti and Spearhead join us in studio for this morning's second Forum Hour. The San Francisco-based singer, songwriter, and guitarist is actually making preparations for a 35-city tour, which combines the group's signature music and yoga. And the music, which is often called spirit music, combines hip-hop, funk, jazz, and rock with folk and reggae. And we welcome Michael Franti and Spearhead, otherwise Jay Bowman, to the program. Good to have you both here.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, Michael, I want to begin with you. You're a Bay Area guy. I mean, you're living in San Francisco now, born in Oakland, but raised in Davis, and have come into your own here in so many ways, not only as a singer and performer, but also as a political activist, and we'll talk about that, I hope, in the course. What about yoga and music, though? How do those two go together for you?
Well, I first started practicing yoga 13 years ago, and I was on tour for a long time, and I was just getting run down physically and mentally, and I went into a yoga class, and this teacher taught our whole band, and I stuck with it, and I went, you know, every day after that. And I just found it was a great way to, you know, after getting in and out of airplanes and tour buses and doing shows and staying up late, that I could take care of my body and learn to focus better. And it's really enhanced every part of my life.
So you're trying also to maybe show people. You got mats for people in the audience and so forth.
So at this tour, we started going to different yoga schools all around the country on tour over the last 13 years and met lots of people. And we'd start to invite people to come to the shows and practice yoga with us before. And maybe like 5 or 10 people would show up. And this sort of grew. And then last year we played at Red Rocks in Colorado, and we opened the doors early and we played an acoustic set and invited people to come do yoga. And we had 2,000 people show up.
Well, you got 15 million people who practice yoga in the United States, although I remember talking to a woman at Esalen Institute who teaches yoga and goes to places out in the hinterland and teaches in elementary school. And a lot of these people say, this is not Christian values. This is too Hindu-ish or Eastern or whatever.
Yeah, I've heard that in some places, too. And then I've heard of Christian yoga classes that are popping up, too. So, but I really feel like yoga is for everybody. It's about mindfulness. It's about getting into your body. And you can take with it or from it any of the values that you choose that are important for your life. But it's a great way to get in better shape and to learn how to breathe through, you know, stressful situations.
Well, your values are out there. I mean, biodiesel when you go on tour, vegetarianism, compassion, open heart, all those kinds of things. Also, I know you went actually to Iraq and to the Middle East.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been doing some things which are pretty extraordinary in terms of political activism. Are you trying to proselyte people, trying to bring them aboard to your way of seeing things?
Well, I want people to become more compassionate, and I think that's the way that that the world gets better. You know, we see people who are going through difficult times, and we want to reach out and assist them. And so that's really my message, and I feel the best way to get that across is through music that invites people to come in. Not music that slams the door in people's faces, but music that makes people feel like they want to dance, sing, jump up and down, laugh, cry, and be together.
Well, your music actually does that. I mean, it makes me feel good. It's uplifting, and I have to give you kudos on that score. And we're going to hear some of it in just a moment. I just want to ask you about, You're all the tattoos on your arms. This is Maori body modification. This is a whole different, like, birds to paradise type stuff, right?
Yeah, most of my tattoos are Maori from New Zealand, and they tell the stories of all the different aspects of my life, my two sons, my mother, my father, my grandfather. All the different stories and places that I've been in my life are marked into my body.
And can I just ask you quickly about Spearhead? I think it's Zulu. Zulu chief stuff?
We took the name Spearhead from Chief Shaka from the Zulus in Southern Africa, South Africa, which it became South Africa. And he modified this kind of spear from a long spear that you throw to a short spear that you use in like a hand-to-hand style combat. And I always thought that that was a great example of how you have to learn to develop and modify what you do as time goes on. You can't always use the same methods to fight your battles. You have to grow with and change with the times.
Well, the first number, and Jay and Michael are right here in the studio, and Spearhead is going to perform for us. Let's get this nomenclature right. The first song you're going to hear is Sound of Sunshine. It's a song off the album of the same name, which was produced back in 2010, and pretty upbeat stuff. Let's hear.
Here we go. One, two, three. Uh-huh. I wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock. They say there may be rain, but the sun is hot. I wish I had some time just to kill today. And I wish I had a dime for every bill I got to pay. Some days you lose, you win, and the water's as high as the times you're in. So I jump back in where I learned to swim. Try to keep my head above it the best I can. That's why here I am, just waiting for this storm to pass me by. Pass me by, that's the sound of sunshine coming down, that's the sound of sunshine coming down, down, down. One, two, three. Saw my friend Bobby, he said, what's up, man? You got a little work for a 20 to lend. I opened up my hand, he said, I'm glad to see. They could take away my job, but now my friends, you see. And here I am, just waiting for this storm to pass me by, that's the sound of sunshine coming down, that's the sound of sunshine coming down. Yo, yo, here we go. I wanna go where the summer never ends. With my guitar on the beach there with all my friends. The sun's so hot and the waves in motion. And everything smells like suntan lotion. The ocean and the girl's so sweet. So kick off your shoes and relax your feet. They say that miracles are never ceasing. Every single soul needs a little releasing. Stereo bumping till the sun goes down. I only wanna hear that sound. That's the sound of sunshine coming down, that's the sound of sunshine coming down. Play that thing a little, Jay. There you go. When the sun goes down, you're the one I wanna be with. When the sun goes down, you're the one I wanna be with. When the sun goes down, you're the one I wanna be with. When the sun goes, that's the sound of sunshine coming down, that's the sound of sunshine coming down.
Michael Franti and Spearhead. And, wait, people can't see what's going on here in the studio, but you guys have joy in your faces when you sing.
Oh,
it's really uplifting.
That's why we do it.
I know. It's terrific. Actually, that kind of happiness and that sort of feeling that you're imbued with in your music and that you communicate so well, I thought we could. I got a playlist in front of me. You mind if I jump to
sure.
Life is Better with you? Because it has some really sweet song lyrics, and especially love the lyric, I'm not afraid to be alone, but being alone is better with you. It's almost existential, really. But also, I want to say just one other thing about this particular song. Can you tell that story, Michael, about, I think, your love interest was with you and you heard it on the radio?
Well, we had this, my better half, Sara, is a really amazing woman. As in all relationships, you have these really great days. And then it's sometimes followed by, you know, not so great day in the relationship. And we had one of those days. We had this great day. We were walking down the beach together. And you know, everything was perfect. And we're the only couple on the beach, except for the like 5,000 other couples that were there that day. But in our minds, we were the only couple. And then the next day, it was like we got up in the morning. Things just didn't go well, you know, and kind of got off the wrong start. It was actually the first day was Valentine's Day, and the day after Valentine's Day was just like a really cruddy day for us. But by the end of the day, we had talked through it. We actually felt closer having gone through this bump in the road. We felt closer than we did on this day when we thought everything was perfect. And so I picked up my guitar and I looked at her and I said, you know, life is better with you. Even on the best day I had before you were in my life, can't even compare to the worst day I have when you're in my life.
Here we go. Let's
do it. It goes like this. Every day's not Valentine's, but you make it feel like most of the time when I'm all alone with you. Picking up pieces of my life, sometimes there's ones I just can't find, but they found a home with you. Whoa, I'm not afraid to be alone, but being alone is better with you. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. When I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true. Life is better with you. Some days are better than other days. These days, life is better with you. Some days are better than other days. But these days, life is better with you. Life is better. Tell me what you want to give you, all that you need, with my heart and my hand saying please, baby, please, because nobody does that thing you do better than you. And thoughts still swim around in my head of all the words that we ever said. My favorites remain, I love you. Whoa, I'm not afraid to be alone, but being alone is better with you. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. When I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true. Here we go now. Every day's not Valentine's, but you make me feel it most of the time with you. Tried to find the one who makes me feel the way you do, so I say, some days are better than other days, but these days, life is better with you, some days are better than other days, but these days, life is better with you, when I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true, what, life is better with you, whoa. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa. Life is better with you. Whoa, whoa. Go ahead, Jay Bruce. Come on, man. Hey,
life is better with you. Whoa,
whoa, life is better with you. Whoa, whoa, life is better with you. When I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true. Life is better with you.
Well, Michael Frate and Spearhead, and love the way that begins in that kind of slow ballad way and that just picks up in the guitar solos. I mean, all the elements are there, and you really kind of embody what you are preaching in that, you know, that you feel better when you're with the one you want to be with.
Yeah.
This is there's a little crooning in there, too, and I was noticing you have, when you sing lyrics, Michael, you have a little bit of what sounds like a kind of Southern accent.
Do I?
For okay. A Bay Area raised boy, you know? Yeah. It's interesting. I remember long ago interviewed Chris Gustafson, who grew up in San Mateo, you know, and he sounded like a country singer a bit. I guess it's the influence of rap, main influence in your life, the influence of reggae, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. People, they're also wearing a human sign. I think I saw you on video wearing a love sign. This is a general signature wearing these signs to carry your guitar?
Oh, yeah. It says Stay Human on it.
Oh, stay. I see
the
human.
Stay is on the back, so you can't see it. On the front of the guitar strap says human. But yeah, you know, it's hard in these days when so much emphasis is placed on numbers and people's ability to earn and how much you can spend. People are often judged by that. And I love music and art and culture and food and spending time with people and dance, because it's the thing that keeps us human and connected to those, you know, emotions and ideals that I hold dear.
Well, these ideals come across, and let me give you some props here, because I know, for example, I mentioned you're going to Iraq and the Middle East, and you really took in a lot there and translated it and communicated it. But also, you go into hospitals, you work with kids a lot.
Yeah,
we'll hear a song later on. In fact, that I think I'm Alive came out of PS22 visit on your part, and you know, you walk the walk,
yeah.
You know, and do you feel there's a responsibility for musicians to do this, especially once you gain popularity in an audience?
Well, I think there's anyone who has, you know, been given great opportunities in life has a great responsibility to extend those opportunities to other people. And that's, you know, I was given up as a baby for adoption. I was adopted by the Franti family, who are Finnish Americans, and they had three children of their own. They adopted myself and another African American son. And my mother is a very tough lady. I'm 6'6", and my mother is barely 5 feet tall.
Which she led, you were a basketball player in your day, too.
Which led to some rather interesting situations. We'd be in the mall together, and she'd be pushing a shopping cart. Actually, she'd be holding the handle well above her head to push the car, and she would say, "Can you reach up on the top shelf and get something down for me?" And people would look at us strange. Here's this really tall black kid with this really small white lady, but my mother was insistent that all five of us kids, even though we're very different, had very different ideas about the world and different interests in life, my mom was insistent that all five of his kids be given the same opportunities to succeed. And later, after I became a parent myself, I asked my mom, what did you try to do as a parent? What was your goal? And she said, my goal was to give all of my kids wings. And that meant that she wasn't going to teach us or do things. She wasn't going to do things for us. She was going to teach us how to do things. So in our house, it was like she'd teach us how to wash the dishes, then you were responsible for washing your own dishes. She'd teach you how to wash clothes. You had to wash your own clothes. She'd teach us how to cook food. Then we had to cook our own food. And that way she gave us like the skills that when we left the house that we could fly on our own. And I'm really grateful for my mom. There was times when I hated it when I was a kid.
It's kind of special homeschooling almost.
Yeah. But my mom was really insistent that all of us kids become, you know, independent people and free thinkers and, you know, walk the life that we wanted to live.
Michael Frante, founder and lead vocalist of Michael Frante and Spearhead, with us. And the Sunshine Summer 2014 tour, by the way, plays June 21st here in the Bay Area at the Greek Theater in Berkeley. It's a multi-city tour that runs through August the 2nd. And let's hear the big chart topper. This sold 2.5 million singles. We say Hey, I Love You.
Yep. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back coming around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. One, two, three. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back coming around the way. Seem like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you. Baby girl, I love you, I love you, I love you. I've been a lot of places all around the way. I've seen a lot of joy and I've seen a lot of pain. But I don't want to write a love song for the world. I just want to write a song about a boy and a girl. Junkies on the corner always calling my name. And the kids on the corner playing ghetto games. When I saw you getting down, girl, I hope it was you. And when I look into your eyes, I knew it was true. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back coming around the way. Seem like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you. Baby girl, I love you, I love you, I love you. Now I'm not a highly metaphysical man, but I know when the stars are aligned, it can bump into a person in the middle of the road. You look into the eyes and you suddenly know. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you, dancing in the night out in the middle of June. My mama told me don't lose you, 'cause the best luck I had was you. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, I'll be back coming around the way. Seem like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. I know one thing, that I love you. Baby girl, I love you, I love you, I love you. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. Hey mama, close to you. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. Hey papa, kick off your shoes. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. Hey mama, close to you. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. Hey mama, 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 hey mama. Well, my mama told me don't lose you, 'cause the best luck I had was you. And I know one thing, that I love you. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, I'll be back coming around the way. Seem like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you. Baby girl, I love you, I love you, I love you. Play that thing, Jay.
We're spending this forum hour with Michael Frante and Spearhead, and Michael Frante is founder and lead vocalist for Michael Frante and Spearhead. His new music and yoga tour, Make That Soul Shine Summer 2014, plays June 21st here at the Greek Theater in Berkeley, and the multi-city tour runs through August 2nd and involves about 35 cities, a couple of DJs, four bands, lots of yoga mats, and much more. In fact, if you would like to join us with Michael Frante, let me invite you to do that. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your phone calls if you have questions or comments. If you have seen Michael Frante and Spearhead perform and you want to comment on your response to a specific performance or song, whatever is on your mind, feel free to join us. Again, it's toll-free, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any of your questions or comments right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And here's a tweet from Noel, who says, glad Michael Frante is extolling the benefits of yoga in all its forms. Fan of his music. I have his yoga DVD, too. And Andrew from San Francisco writes, I saw Michael Franti playing in a club in San Francisco with a great guitarist named Charlie Hunter before Spearhead was formed. What a fantastic show that was. I think of that as being one of the gleams in the eye that led to Spearhead. Next is also neat to see a local boy made good after he paid all his dues to get there for all those years. Well done. Well, let's hear another song from you guys, and I really appreciate your performing here live and performing so well. We've been talking about Soulshine and giving it all kinds of hype here. This track is being reissued. And by the way, the last song you heard, Say Hey, is not only going to be part of the tour, but there was another version of that when the Giants won the series?
Yeah. We did a version of that for the Giants, and they play it at the ballpark all the time now. And I've been a Giants fan since I was a kid, so it was really neat to go. Jay and I actually got to play before one of their games last year. And we did a yoga event, actually, out in the outfield. So we had 700 people come and set up their yoga mats in the morning before the ball game. And then Jay and I got to play. And
you threw a first pitch?
I threw out the first pitch.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for that invitation.
I've never been more nervous in my life. I did good.
You got it over the plate?
Well, it was maybe a little bit about 2 feet outside, but that was only because I threw a wicked curveball and it just took off.
Man, you throw a wicked curveball. That's impressive. You talk about changing lyrics. So you also did that with Bottom of the World. You changed the lyrics to that, too. Could you talk a little about that?
Yeah, you know, I have a song that says we can bomb the world to pieces, but we can't bomb it into peace. And so we did a couple different remix versions of that. And that was inspired by my trip to Iraq in 2004. I went there 11 months after the war had begun, and I just played music on the streets for people in the daytime. And then at night I'd play for U.S. soldiers, and I would just walk around and basically just stand on a street corner and play for whoever came up to me. And Iraqi families would take me into their homes where they hid during the bombings. And I remember this one family, they said they hid in their basement for 11 days. And they said that when the bombs would start to drop, they would get on the middle of the floor and they'd put blankets over the kids. And I was thinking to myself, that seems like a odd thing to do. If there's a bomb, how is a blanket going to protect you? But there was some glass windows around. And they said every time a bomb would go, more glass would break and fall into the thing. And, you know, I just never had experienced, people talking about living through, you know, the bombing. And I got back to San Francisco and I was just trying to imagine what if another nation came here and was shelling us repeatedly for a year, you know, what would that feel like? You know, it kind of changed the way that I made music. I always had before that made lots of very intense, angry protest songs. But when I was on the streets of Iraq, people said to me, "We don't want to hear songs like that. We want to hear songs that make us laugh and dance and cry and sing and hold on to each other and be reminded of life and reminded of the preciousness of life."
So Iraq was a real transformative experience for you as a songwriter. And you said you're pro-compassion. I know you're pro-peace. And you've been involved in a lot of demonstrations going back to WTO. Let's just get your pedigree down here. You've been very strongly anti-death penalty, very strongly in favor of legalization of marijuana. I mean, just to name a few things you've been involved in. And, well, let's have some more sunshine. And good feeling. This is sort of – did you do 1159 when you were in Iraq?
No, I just –
You hadn't written it.
I hadn't written it. You know, it's interesting. I had started to write it. This was a song that took me 10 years to write. So I had started to write the song, and it was like what I was describing. It was this very angry protest song. And I stopped. I was like, you know what? I don't need to write another song like this. I've already written many. I want to write a song that's about appreciating life. And so I wrote a new chorus for the song that was very different. I'll sing it a little bit just so you can hear what I'm saying. It goes, it's 11:59 and 59 seconds. If I'm gonna die tonight, I want heaven. With you. So the chorus is really about appreciating that life is short, and we have you know, precious time here, and that we want to spend it with the people that we love and care about. But we also don't want to forget about fighting for those things that we believe in, But that if we don't do it in a compassionate way, then we end up just repeating the failures of the past.
It's also a warning about limited amount of sands that are left in the hourglass, really, isn't it? I mean, you see, there's an organization that talks about how we've been 11 o'clock, 11:30, 11:50, you know, in terms of nuclear war and destroying the planet ecologically, those kinds of things. So we're going to hear 11:50.
Let's do it.
And then we'll hear some calls. Yeah.
It's 11:59 and 59 seconds. If I'm going to die tonight, I don't want heaven. Hey, with you. It's 11:59 and 59 seconds. If I'm going to die tonight, I want heaven. Hey, with you. It was 11:59 and 59 clicks. The whole world's burning, but the clock just ticks over and over every single day. Some people steal while other people pray to God, to man, machines, or whatever. Some of us just lost faith altogether. No way, they say, we can't live this way. That's why so many people stand up and say, one love, one blood, one heart, one soul, and one drum, and only one rhythm, one tribe, and all of us singing. It's 11:59 and 59 seconds. If I'm gonna die tonight, I want heaven. Seconds. If I'm gonna die tonight, I want heaven. With you, I wanna rock it with you. Tonight I wanna rock it with you. I wanna rock it with you. Tonight I wanna rock it with you. It was 11:59 and 59 clicks. Life support plugged in, the whole world sick. Got diseases excited, they crawled up inside us. Super stupiditis, philosophies that divide us, that keep us in fear from one another. So we can't recognize a brother from another mother. No way, we can't live this way. That's why so many people stand up and say, one love, one blood, one heart, one soul, and one drum, and only one rhythm, one tribe, and all of us singing. It's 11:59 and 59 seconds. If I'm gonna die tonight, I want heaven. With you. It's 11:59 and 59 seconds. If I'm gonna die tonight, I want heaven. With you. I wanna rock it with you. I wanna rock it with you. I wanna rock it with you. It was 11:59 and 59 clicks. The whole world's burning, but the clock just ticks. Some people cry, others occupy. Throw your hands high as the bullets fly by. I dry my eyes, others wonder why. But I just want to be with you until the day I die. One love, one blood, one heart, one soul, and one drum, and only one rhythm, one tribe, and all of us singing. It's 11:59 and 59 seconds. If I'm gonna die tonight, I want heaven. With you. It's 11:59 and 59 seconds. If I'm gonna die tonight, I want heaven. With you. Till the day I die. Seconds. If I'm gonna die tonight, I want heaven. With you.
Bravo. Thank you so much. So life-affirming. I mean, your work is so life-affirming. Let's hear from the silent partner for just a moment. Jay, I've seen you guys on video. Michael does all the talking here. Tell us a little bit about you and how you got together with him.
Well, it was about 10 years ago, and there's a mutual friend of ours, this gentleman from the Steve Miller Band, this great guy named David Denny. And he had a gear rental company for a lot of the Bay Area musicians at the time. He called up one day saying that Michael and the guys needed some help in the studio. Their engineer couldn't come in for the day. And so I said, yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great. So I showed up one morning and we just kept getting together each day doing something, engineering, eating beans and rice, going over his house, playing guitar, and just one thing led to the next.
Well, you guys make a great team, obviously. Thank you. Yeah. And like I said, they're going on the road. They'll be playing June 21st at the Greek Theater in Berkeley at 6:30 p.m. And let's go to some callers here and find out what people want to ask you or say to you. Dan from Albany is first up here. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Dan. I teach an ethics and social justice course at a high school in San Francisco. And the final thing we do together as a class is watch Michael's film, I Know I'm Not Alone. And I thought you guys might get a kick out of the fact that the last question on our final exam is actually a question about the message of the film. I just wanted to say you're a huge inspiration to young people, and I'm just trying to spread the fire of that inspiration. Just wanted to make that comment.
That's awesome, man.
The film is about the trip to Baghdad and Israel, both. Yeah,
it's and, about and the Middle East. I mean, it's about the situation there. And you know, when I went there, I really wanted to.
This was 2004,
yes,
and you went to the West Bank as well.
Yeah, I went to the West Bank in 2004, and then again in 2005.
I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone.
And what I wanted to do with the film was that when I was watching the whole buildup of the war, and when I see the conflict in between Israel and Palestine, Palestinian territories, I see the perspective of generals and politicians. And I don't see the perspective of people on the ground. And so that's what I wanted to do when I went there. You know, it's like I go into Iraq and I visit a tattoo shop, you know. I visit a heavy metal band, you know. And I go and I talk to people who are just everyday people living their lives in these conflicts and then ask them about what's going on, you know. And I think that that's the way that we need to really think about what's happening with war is not just from this, you know, political perspective and generals and politicians.
Not just our leaders.
Yeah, you know.
Were the people open to talking to you?
Oh, yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Very much so, you know. And people wanted to tell their story. And they were really surprised when they would hear us from America because they'd see this tall guy with dreadlocks on the street playing music and they thought it was from Morocco or somewhere. They didn't know where. And I'd tell them I was American and they were really surprised. And they wanted to really open up. And they said to me, you know, we know that what's happening here by it's being done by your government doesn't reflect all of the people in America's perspective any more than Saddam Hussein represented all the people's perspective of the people of Iraq. And that's really true wherever you go. And at the end of it, I felt like I'm not on the side of, you know, just Americans, although I love our country and I love living here, I love growing up here. I'm not just on our side and I'm not just on the side of Iraqis or of Israelis or Palestinians. I'm on the side of the peacemakers. And in every country I go to, I meet people who are dedicated to peace and courageously fighting for peace. And that's where my, you know, love is.
Let me bring another caller on for you. April from San Jose. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, hello. Thank you so much. My question, my dears. Well, first, my noticing that your positiveness, but with an objectiveness that's not bitter, and I totally love it because, you know, love is the highest law. But when you were younger, what were your roles of mentoring, please? Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome, April. My role models were, you know, my family and especially my mother. You know, my mother...
Must be plain about this. Yeah. You revere your mother.
Yeah, I do. My dad went through a very rough time during most of my childhood. He was an alcoholic and I actually ran away from home when I was 17 years old. And I told him I wouldn't come back into the house unless he stopped drinking. And he did. But I didn't really know him as a sober man because I left the home right after that. And but later in life, my dad had a stroke and he grew and he changed when he came back from his stroke. He blossomed into this really beautiful man. And I saw my mother who had taken care of him through all this time and nurtures all of us five kids. And then I saw my dad grow and change as after his stroke. And he made amends to everyone in his life he had ever hurt. And
was that with AA or?
Yeah. And I saw that people can transform and people can change and that people can grow. And that even somebody who you think is the most hardened person, the most, you know, negative, ignorant, cynical person can really transform. And so that's what I look for in the world. And I see it everywhere I go. And I'm actually making, finishing a film, a documentary film that's about three people in my life who've inspired me. One is a midwife in the Philippines. And the other is a man who's dying of ALS in Atlanta. And the other is a man who is in Indonesia and he's reforesting clear-cut areas using bamboo. And they were all people who just had simple things that they did in their life, but they did it over and over again to help hundreds of people, help thousands of people. And I love that more than I love hearing about, you know, reading the stories of, you know, famous people, celebrity people. I love hearing the stories of everyday people who do incredible things.
Pretty grounded guy, and obviously a good mentor to your own sons. Here's an email from a listener who writes, I've been listening to Spearhead since the mid-1990s and never thought nearly 20 years later I'd hear them on Forum with Michael Krasny, of all places. They're a great, inspirational group of artists whose message of love and compassion have always moved me. Well done, Michael, for having them on, and thank you, Spearhead, for bringing some beautiful music to my Tuesday morning. Another listener writes, I love that your songs have a great message and are fun. My young kids and I can dance to them. Will you be doing any events for young kids? I live in the East Bay and would love to take my kids to see you.
Well, we've done a number of events in the past where we do family matinees. And we'll, I'm sure we'll do this again very soon. But all of our shows, the show that's coming up at the Greek, is, would be a great place to bring your kids. We always welcome kids, and we always have kids that come up and dance on stage with us. And one of the things that my partner Sara and I started recently was a foundation called the Do It for the Love Foundation, and it's kind of like a Make-A-Wish Foundation for music. And so we reach out to people who are going through advanced stages of life-threatening medical conditions and kids with severe challenges and wounded veterans, and we get them to concerts, live concerts. And so if you have a friend or family member that's one of those people or know of somebody, just write to us at doitfortheLove.org. It doesn't have to be my concert. It could be a heavy metal band. It could be the opera. It could be a country music, rap show. Any show will get you their family members out to any concert.
And here's a tweet from Brandon who says, I saw Spearhead with Diggable Planets in 1995 in Minneapolis.
Wow, I remember that.
What a vibe. Did Michael think they'd still be playing almost 20 years later?
You know, when I first started in music, my goal was not to get rich and retire. My goal was to play music like John Lee Hooker when I was like really like just going off into, you know, forever playing music. And that was my stated goal when I started. And I admire those bands like the Rolling Stones, like U2, who are able to just constantly reinvent what they do and, you know, keep it going, you know, forever. And
those are two very different, I mean, in terms of political commitment, U2 has it all over the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
I mean, social activism. Sorry. You guys are more in that U2 category in that sense. Let me get Lisa on here as our next caller. Hi, Lisa. Whoops. Lisa, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi. Oh, great to be here. Thank you. I wanted to say, Michael, both Michaels, Michael Krasny, I like that you said that Michael Franti's walking the walk, and it's evident in everything you've said and the beauty of the music you share. I started a national group of parents called Climate Parents, mm-hmm. and kind of the spirit around it or the premise in it is that we love our kids so much, we'll do anything for them. We'll walk in front of a train for our kids. We'll fight a bear. We'll do whatever it takes to keep our kids safe. And in the face of climate change, we're trying to break it down in a way that isn't scary, where parents don't feel fearful to take action, but they know, you know, we need kids-safe, climate-safe energy the same way we need safe food for our kids, like Michelle Obama's promoting. I guess I have two questions for you. One, have you engaged, you know, like you have on the peace issue, on the climate issue at all, and how? And then the second one is, given the spirit of connectivity you're fostering, might there be some offline way to talk a little more? Because clearly you're trying to help build social movement power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Specifically to kids, I wrote a kid's book that's out now, and it's called Where in the World is Away? And it's about two kids who are drinking a bottle of juice, and when they finish the juice, they look at the bottle and one kid's about to throw it in a lake, and the other kid says, no, don't do that because there's fish and there's frogs and stuff in there. And they said, well, we'll throw it over the hill. And he said, no, don't throw it over the hill because there's a forest there and there's all the forest beings who are in there, and it could catch a fire. And, you know, they said, we'll drop it on the ground. They go, no, you can't do that because we're going to step on the glass and it's going to hurt us. And then this little crow comes along and teaches them how to recycle and shows them how to reduce and reuse and recycle. And at the end of the bottle, they decide they're going to reuse it, and they both put a flower in it.
What's the title of that book? You might as well plug it.
Yeah, it's called Where in the World is Away? And they realize in the end of the book that there's nowhere in the world that's away. There's just somewhere else. And that's something that I feel all of us need to be reminded of, is that the things that we consume, they don't just go away. They go somewhere else. And so if we use things that can be biodegradable, if we use things that can be reused, and if we use less things, then we are being more aware of where away is.
Let me bring another caller on here, and we'll go to...
You can write to us just at Facebook or whatever and get in touch with us there. Yeah.
And this is Michael in San Francisco. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. I'm really, really enjoying the show, and I'm a teacher as well, and I used to see Michael Fonte at Elbow Room in the mid-1990s, nice. You know, and the Spearhead Home record was on, like, constant revolution in our $1,200 apartment on 19th Street, which in the Mission, you know, a long time ago, but famous line was the one about Bill Clinton selling popcorn. We used to love that line. Anyway, so much positivity here, and Michael, I just want to thank you for all you've done. There was an interesting billboard kind of between segments here on the show about Ziggy Marley kind of turning away from, you know, protest music of his father and turning more towards an emotional. It's going to be on NPR later today, in fact. And, you know, I've noticed that in your music too. No judgment here, mm-hmm. but I just wondered what precipitated that for you. You know, is it becoming a father, just kind of burned out on the fiery rhetoric, you know, and in any case, your music is all good.
Thank you, man. Well, I think the main thing for me is that I try to create a balance in my life. You know, there's times when I feel frustrated and angry and I want to write songs that do that, but I also want to write songs that transform that anger into something positive. And so that's why I do all the things outside of music that I do to try to make a difference. I really want to be a difference maker in the world. And there's been times when I felt like, you know, I see the cross section of people who come to my show, and they're from a wide variety of politics, and I don't want to just turn some people off by, you know, espousing what my view is personally. I want people to come to their own conclusions, and I want the music to be thought provoking and compassionate and fun so that people want to stay there and want to engage in it. I met this woman on a cruise. We played on this cruise ship, and it was a country music cruise. We were the only band that wasn't country music. It was the Zac Brown Band's cruise. And she said, you know, I'd never heard of you guys. And so I went to your website and I Googled you and I saw your film, I Know I'm Not Alone. And then I saw you, performing for veterans at Walter Reed Hospital. And she said, I work for a company that makes weapon systems. And I went in to our office and I said, here's this guy who is against the war. And he's out there, you know, going on the streets and playing music for people and playing for veterans and supporting veterans. And what are we doing as a company that makes weapons? We're not doing anything to support these veterans. And she got her company to start a fund to help wounded veterans. And I thought that was great. And it wasn't because of a political song I wrote. It was because she heard the song Say Hey, I Love You, which was just a fun song.
It's a great song, great story. Yeah. And in fact, it prompts me, because we're coming toward the end of this hour, to say we're going to actually go out with you guys doing I'm Alive. And the message here is a really authentic message it's a joyful song. It's a song about love. It actually was something I alluded to before about your playing and really getting a kick, I know you did personally, out of these kids at this PS22.
Yeah, yeah.
Singing the song and feeling the exuberance of the song. And it's really lovely. And I love the line, only want to be with you like Jay-Z and Beyonce, come be my fiance. We'll hear it, and I'll also tell you.
You're a Jay-Z fan too, huh? Awesome.
Well, we're going to hear it.
All right, here we go.
Everybody wants me to be who they want me to be except you. But all I want to do is be with you. They'll tell me that there's something strange. I don't want to meet nobody new. But all I want to do is be with you. Life sounds like, whoa. I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Something jumps in the way, gets complicated. I feel devastated, but when I'm feeling down, I only wanna be with you. I can't afford the rent or remember checks I sent to pay off all my taxes and feed the president. But there's one thing I remember, I only wanna be with you.
Life Forum is produced like by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Larbert. Engineer is Danny Bringer, with special help today with the performance from Rob Spate. We get online support from David Marks. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. I'm Michael Krasny.
I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Whoa, I'm alive. You be Bonnie, I'll be your Clyde. Hop into my car and drive like fireworks. We will ignite. San Francisco night, like John and Yoko, like Ice-T and Coco, like Jay-Z, Beyonce, come be my fiance. Hey soul sister, I'll be your mister, I don't wanna be no one night stand. How many ways can I say to help you understand that I only wanna be your man? Life sounds like...
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.